الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we come to the words in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have been reflecting upon, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُحْيِي وَيُمِيت. Now, the kalima began with La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, and then there is yuhyi wa yumit. He is the one who gives life and he is the one who causes death. Yuhyi wa yumit. This morning just now I got news also, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them and bless them and to fill their qubur with noor, of the death of the wife and son of Sheikh Salman Al-Awda, Hafizahullah, from Saudi Arabia, from Riyadh. His wife and son both died in a car accident. May Allah give him sabr and include them among the closest to him. Yuhyi wa yumit. Allah is the one who gives life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who causes death. To him is to all our return. We all go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We all belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we all go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is after, in this kalima, after accepting and bearing witness to the fact that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, that he is alone and unique in every aspect of himself and in every aspect of his control and khudrat. And then there is no one who is partner with him, that everything belongs to him because he created everything, and he has control over everything. He has the authority over everything that has. Lahul mulku wa lahul hamd. And all praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say yuhi wa yumit. And this is to remind ourselves of these two extremely critical and important aspects. This life, this hayat, is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this life not without a reason, not accidentally, but for a purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. If you take this ayat of Surah Al-Mulk, again they reflect back on this kalima. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. The all glory and praise and mubarak and mutabarrik is the Zat, is the person of the one in whose hand is all control. Tabarakalladhi biyadihil mulk. In his hand is all control. Everything that happens, that we know about, that we are conscious about, that we do not know about, that we are not conscious about, happens only and only by the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. There is no one who has any share in this whatsoever in any form or means. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Everything is in his control. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created death, and he is the one who created life, so that he can test you to see which of you does the best deeds. So when we make the dhikr of, when we make this dhikr after salah, when we say yuhi, we must reflect on all of this to say that Allah is the one who gave me life. This life is the biggest ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, because thanks to this life, we have the ability to affect the next life, which is the life of the hereafter, which is the life that is everlasting. This life is the only time that we have to make an impact on the coming life, which is a life without end. If we do the right things and we ask Allah to, for tawfiq to do the right things, and we ask Allah for forgiveness in whatever mistakes we make and to save us from the wrong things, if we do it, then inshallah that life of the hereafter will be a life without pain, without suffering, without any difficulty, a beautiful life that we cannot even imagine how beautiful it is, and that will be forever. And vice versa, if we don't do that, there is a difference between a mistake and a crime. A mistake is something that happens without our knowledge, or it happens because we forgot, or because of some momentary weakness. But a crime is something that we do despite knowing that it is wrong. And that is a very major and serious matter. It's a very serious matter. There are some crimes that actually put us into kufr. We know something is to be done which is correct, and we deliberately do not do it. This can lead us to kufr. But the important thing to understand here is not the gravity of the crime or seriousness of the crime, because any crime that we do is a crime against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Akbar. So even though the disobedience itself may not seem to be great, the very fact that it does not seem to be great is a sign of some level of kufr with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because how can you and I, as human beings, decide that a disobedience of Allah is really not serious? It's a disobedience of who? Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can it not be serious? How can it not be serious? Who are we to decide what is serious and what is not serious? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who decides what is serious and what is not serious. So, he is the one who gives life. And this kalima, this dhikr reminds us of that. That this life didn't come to us because of our parents. The parents did not give us life. Your mother and father did not give you life. You didn't give life to yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave life. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave life, and He told us why He gave life, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So therefore, this life is to be spent in trying to do the best of the best deeds that we can do. This life is to be spent in trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of our ability. Maximum, whatever I can do, absolutely the best. We seem to be living in a state where we have got used to a minimalist thinking. Do the least for Allah. Just make sure, you know, khana puri jisko bolte hain, make sure that there's a tick in the box, that's enough. That's not enough. Allah did not say that. Whoever thinks that has invented this for himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ahsanu amala, the best of the deeds. So it's not even a comparison between good deeds and bad deeds. Question of bad deeds does not even come into it. It's a comparison between good deeds and better deeds. There is one thing which is good, there is something which is better than that. Which one will you choose? Not a question of haram and halal. Haram you are not supposed to do. Who told you that? Where is the question of haram and halal? Haram is haram. Here it's a question of halal, but in halal, which is the better deed? Salatul Fajr is fard. Even if you pray it at home, still you have completed the fard. But if you pray in the masjid, this is the better of the two deeds. So somebody cannot say praying Salatul Fajr at home is haram. He will go to Jahannam. No, you can't say that. If a person deliberately prays at home when he can go to the masjid without difficulty, that's a different issue. I'm not going into the fiqh aspects of it. I'm just saying that here are two things. He's still praying. He's getting up. He's not sleeping through the time. He's getting up. He's praying Salah. But instead of praying in the masjid, he's praying at home. So he has not fulfilled ahsanu amala. That's not the ahsan of the amal. That is the less of the two. And if somebody deliberately does that over and over again, then you have to ask this question, why are you doing that? Because if you know something is less, if you know that something, the reward of it is less, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is less pleased, why would you do that thing deliberately day after day after day? So that's something serious for us to, serious enough for us to think about and say, how is it that despite knowing that Allah is more pleased with this, I still don't do it? How is it that I know that Allah is pleased with following the sunnah of Rasulullah, still I do not follow the sunnah of Rasulullah? How can this be good? The problem is we have become used to living in an anesthetized state. We live as if we are zombies. We live as if we are under anesthesia. We don't think nothing. We have to reflect. How is it that I know that something is the better of two things, but I deliberately choose the one which is less? What does it tell me? And then compare it in your own life and say, do I do the same in my worldly life? If I have to buy two cars, I have money to buy both of them. Will I buy a car which is worse than the other one? I mean, nobody, it would be crazy if you did that, people will say, you're mad, why are you doing that? If you have two jobs which you can get, will you choose a job which pays less, which has, it's still a job, it's still halal, but will you choose that job which has worse working conditions, you know, no great career prospects, when you had the opportunity to choose another one which was much, much better? You'll never do that. Will you choose a course in college that is, you know, less useful and worthwhile when you could have chosen something which is better? In our worldly life, not only do we choose that which is better, we actually put in much more effort and much more expense and so on into doing that which is better. A car which is, you know, not as good is also cheaper. But you will not buy that cheaper car. You will spend more money and buy a better car. And you will say, I have a BMW and, you know, it can do 220 kilometers. You are driving this car in Hyderabad. Where are you going to drive this car at 220 kilometers? What is the use of having a car which can go at 220 kilometers when you don't have a road on which to drive it at 220 kilometers? No, don't think of all this. No. My car can do this. Even though in this entire lifespan of the car and your own lifespan, it will never do it, but still I will pay that money and I will buy this car. It's completely crazy. But we don't do that with our amal. We do not do that. Let me do something which really pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if it takes more time and energy and money and so on, I want to do that. I want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though there is a less amal, I will not do that. I will do this one which is more. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala khalaqa al-mawta wal hayata liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yuhyi. Allah gave me life. It's not mine to do whatever I want. Allah gave it to me. And Allah told me why He gave it to me. So when we are making this zikr, when we say yuhyi, we need to think about this. And say, this is my life which Allah gave me. That's the reason why the first question that we will be asked on the day of judgment is, what did you do with the life that I gave you? First question. That is the reason why suicide is haram. In Islam, suicide is haram. Even if you are in pain and so on and so forth, it is not permissible for you to commit suicide. Now, euthanasia, killing somebody because they have an incurable disease or incurable illness and they are in pain, in Islam this is not permissible. You cannot kill. Taking life is haram. Biggest sin, murder of anybody, not only Muslim. Muslim, non-Muslim, makes no difference. Islam does not differentiate between that. You are not permitted to kill anybody because that life is not yours. Your own life is not yours. The other person's life is not yours. You have no right to take it. You have no right to take somebody else's life. You have no right to take your own life. That is how sacred life is. And that's why in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who saves the life of one person, it is as if he has saved the life of all humanity. Imagine, if somebody kills one person, it is as if he has killed all humanity. And if somebody saves the life of one person, it is as if he has saved the life of all humanity. And neither of these places has Allah said, did you save the life of one Muslim or kill one Muslim? No. Anybody. Because the life that is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sacred, whoever it is. And that's the reason why we must reflect on this and say, Yuhi, Allah gave me the life, what am I doing with it? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to reflect on our askar and to live our life in accordance with that and to change our ways before we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which one day we will, inshaAllah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika.